Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
So happy to have you here on Crossover, Trudy.
Thank you, Jill. It's really a bright moment as we have picked up that saying and keep it alive and well. It's a thing that Rahsaan Roland Kirk did with his recording, and he was such a beautiful friend and a family friend and a peer and all of that. But it's a bright moment to be here with you. We've not been together for so long.
Long, long time.
I've been looking so forward. And I listen to you just about every Saturday.
And everyone who listens to us obviously listens to you because you are an artist and have been for so many, many years. Not that many that you're still working. And as a matter of fact, you will be appearing at the Kimmel Center.
Yes, ma'am.
On September 15th.
That's correct.
Along with Nancy Wilson. And you will be playing on the new Kimmel organ. Now, let's just backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
You are first and foremost a pianist, aren't you?
Absolutely, Jill. All of my training and development musically and artistically and technically and anything else you can think of was done on the piano. You know, and...
Well, you're a graduate of Juilliard School.
Well, I attended there for some postgraduate studies. I didn't graduate. Graduated from Pete, which, as you and some of your listeners might remember, was Philadelphia Musical Academy.
Oh,
we call it PMA.
Right.
Here in Philadelphia. That was where I graduated from. And then I went on being that age. There were several things happening. I wanted to get away from home and experience a different atmosphere and different experiences, and Juilliard was right in my face, and that's where I went to do some postgraduate work, mostly extended piano work with Edward Stuerman, who was also here in Philadelphia, but I wanted to get to New York.
Why not? Well, of course, the funny part is when you went and when I went, there was no jazz department. Now they have a jazz department, which is really
absolutely
unbelievable.
But ironically, Jill, back in that day, I did do jazz. I had a jazz improvisation course.
Okay.
Even back then.
Really?
So that they evidently merged into the whole jazz curriculum little by little.
Yes. Well, you always... Now, how did this all start? Of course, a quick and dirty, as we say. You started playing when you were quite young?
Yes, ma'am.
And you
six years old.
And you played classical?
Yes, all of it. All of it was classical until I was grown. All of it.
Okay, when did the jazz bug get you?
Well, it got me when I was still classical, because the improvisational aspect always put me in awe and curiosity and that whole thing that inspires your spirit. Listening to people like Art Tatum and, Earl Gardner and Oscar Peterson. I was enthralled with what I heard coming from them. So that happened when I was still classical.
Well, because you are an artist with a classical technique, so that allows you to expand your whole frame of reference.
Absolutely.
In jazz.
Jill, you're right on top of it. That's because you're fine musician. You understand that.
Well, yes, once again, if you don't have the technique, you can have the ideas, but...
That's right. That's right. You can have the ideas. The only one that excelled with that, as far as my history tells me, is Earl Gardner, who did not read even.
Really?
I don't know. We were in his company several times in his career, but we never got into his development, but... It's an open secret that he didn't study, but yet he was a monster with his
technique.
Yes, and his ideas. Nobody ever... His technique and direction was so profound that people are still doing bits and pieces of it today in their performances, including me. and nobody was ever able to do it like him.
But he had a style, I think. You could always recognize the chords, like he would
Absolutely.
Go that, you know, like a tremolo kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, he was unique. And his tempo, that innate tempo that he had with the left hand
to keep it going.
Set a metronome as fast as you wanted to, and he was right with it, boy.
That was really something. So now, Trudy, you, of course, are an accomplished organist as well.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Play the Hammond B3, which is very yes. different from a classical organ, isn't that right?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. It lends itself to what you need to make an organ work in jazz.
Yes.
Jazz is percussive. It's it's clean.
It's clean.
It's instant. All of those things.
So
people know.
Yeah. So in other words, the concert organ has a lot of resonance.
Absolutely.
Right?
It has a lot of resonance. When you say concert, you mean pipe.
A pipe organ.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they're, you know, the churches, some of the theaters back in the day had, organs, beautiful organ. I like the way theater organs used to sound. A lot of churches still have it, but it's just so different. The way it's constructed speaks to that. The slowness, the delay, the spacing in terms of why do I try to compare it to a Hammond? Because you can't. They're just two different worlds.
Well, of course, and I would imagine that it's very restrictive for jazz.
Oh, absolutely. I've been asked to do jazz 2 to 3 times, whatever, on pipe organ. And what you actually find yourself doing is adapting your approach to that instrument. You can't make an instrument do what it's
not supposed to do,
what it's not built to do, and what it doesn't have all the configurations to accessible to you. So what you have to do is change your whole direction and attempt to get into that instrument for what it
is. Can give
yes,
you,
ma'am.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a different world.
So it is. I mean, in terms of tempo, certainly, I would think that you would.
It's not. It's not possible to get a fast tempo on it for jazz.
Right.
Now for classic. It comes
well, it's still
in a different way.
It's still a problem.
You know, and you know, you can get your your fire and your allegro tempos a little bit more together with the classical than the jazz, but the improvisational aspect of jazz is crucial to apply to a pipe organ, and I am finding that some of the tempi that I'm used to doing on the Hammond is not going to happen
not gonna
on
work.
The pipe,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be. Another thing is your creative powers and all the energy that you can muster up to assimilate that in a different way. That is what you have to do.
Now, you will be opening the program at the Kimmel Center on the 15th.
Yes,
and how
right.
did that impress you when you went in there? It's exciting to be on the stage.
It is exciting. Well, they had invited Mr. C and myself down to be in the audience, and our friend Jeffrey Brohart.
Oh, he's a wonderful organist.
He's an old friend.
Yeah.
Years ago, we performed at his church, Bryn Mawr Presbyterian, where it's totally a musical atmosphere
right.
with Grover Washington, and we were in concert there. So, and we've been friends so far. Jeffrey did a concert on that Dobson organ with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and we were invited to. We took our choice to come down and hear whatever program that we choose that was utilizing that organ. And I chose to go see Jeffrey. So I sat in the audience to get that perspective mm-hmm. for what it sounded like, what to imagine what it was capable of. And I was looking at the way the organ was situated. You could see the whole front of it, which means that Jeffrey's back was to the audience,
right.
which mine won't be. Mm-hmm. I can't handle that aesthetically.
So how did they, I guess they must turn it around.
Well, it's portable somehow. It's on wheels. They move it back and forth as needed, you know. And it impressed me magnificently, as an organ of that magnitude would. It kind of lent itself to what I know a pipe organ sounds like.
But have you played on other organs that are similar?
Oh, well, kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Each and every one is different, like greatly different.
Yes.
I played a big organ a few years ago at the 21st and Walnut, a church.
Yeah.
And I was asked to do some jazz or whatever you want to term you want to call it, you know, jazz. What is jazz? That's another whole subject you and I have to have.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, you tell me now.
Yes.
Where does the gospel element fit into jazz?
Mm-hmm. Well,
or does it, are
jazz
they unrelated?
Fits, I would say, the other way around.
Okay.
Jill, maybe.
That's okay.
It's controversial. But as I think about that, I think jazz fits into gospel.
Okay.
Because gospel came first.
Right.
I think. Mr. C is an expert of the different levels of the evolution. Gospel came out of the fields, the slaves.
Sure.
The moaning and the groaning and the humming and the singing and the evolution of that finally got into a form of some kind, you know, and gospel was beginning to be born. And out of that, I'm not really heavy on the historical.
Maybe the hysterical part,
maybe.
I think.
But the historical part of it, I'm not an expert of that. I've been too busy trying to play the music to be a historian. But how does it fit into it? I think jazz is just a sophisticated form of coming out of gospel that evolved into so many different levels and of
so you, there is a direct relation.
Well, maybe.
I mean, what do you say, the blue note that we're talking about? Is it the keys that you're talking about? What is it?
Well,
I mean,
what is it?
It evolved into this as
It's a feeling. I think it's just people influencing each other with feeling. You have terms, and I don't adhere, first of all, to terms. I don't adhere to even the word jazz. I don't even adhere to that.
Okay.
But Mr. C gets on me about that a lot.
And Mr. C, we have to talk about him. He was a drummer. You got, actually, Bill Carney, and that's a long time ago. You've had quite a collaboration, huh?
Quite exciting. wonderful. Quite turbulent,
sure.
You know, all the words you can think of with our relationship, that's what it's been.
Well, it's also a musical relationship and a personal relationship.
Absolutely.
And a long one, and
yes.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
As far as this whole thing with the whole jazz element, and we won't belabor this point, but
yes.
It's actually something when you started from as a classical performer,
yes.
And then you went into this genre, which it really is.
That's
did you have
is.
To learn, did you have to study more about chord progressions? Did you have to, did you have that in your ear?
Jill, that's a wonderful question.
That's a terrible one.
No, it's great for me. Because, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Right, right.
I had the tools, as I like to call them, with my students and when we talk, meaning knowledge of the of potentials of music, meaning the whole scope of what your instrument is capable of and you trying to rise to the occasion through so much study and dedication. So I had all of that under my belt. And as the time went on, I found that I also had perfect pitch.
Well, that helped.
Which is a
It could be a blessing.
It's relative now.
Yeah.
We were talking a moment ago about different changes that happens as you go along.
Someone, you know, who else told me that? I think it was one of...
That's all right.
Somebody told me that as you get older, you don't have perfect pitch, and it becomes... It's better because perfect pitch can really be a terrible cross to bear as well. Because if people are playing out of tune, you're in trouble.
Oh yes,
and
absolutely.
I mean it really can be very irritating.
But I would tend to think that it's more of a plus than it is a risk. Because then when you go to concerts, I grew up at the listening to the Philadelphia Orchestra with Eugene Ormandy, mm-hmm. and as a student, because this is where I was
right,
at that
course.
Time
Lucky
with the music.
You, yeah.
And I was able to follow what the sections were doing. And when the string sections came in, I knew where they were coming. And it was always brightness and a bright moment for me to be able to hear what was going on. So when people played out of tune, I just tuned them out.
Oh, boy, that's good for you. That's
but as
tough.
We said, it's as you go along, it gets relative. Which is still okay.
Yeah, it's still
the
good.
Whole thing about changes is to know that what's going on and to adapt to it. So that's what I've done. But with the changes and the chords that you must use in jazz, I, for some reason, never had. That wasn't my problem.
What was your problem?
My problem, which is still my problem, and it remains to be a problem with creative musicians, is the improvisational expert. Because if you're a purist, I think, and in the creative aspect, it goes back to what is jazz. And if jazz to you is a creative effort, every time you sit down to play, you're going to try to create something that you've not done before. Now, that is my contention with myself.
Well, that's what improvisation
and so
is.
Improvisational effort is the monster to leave your brain and your spirit open to air and to newness and to the sun and rain and nature and your own spirit to let all of these things a rainbow to let all of these things come into your spirit and enforce the creative effort.
Well, I have a feeling that one of the reasons that you're so, that is a problem is because you were a classical musician, because the whole mindset of being a classical musician is written out in music.
That's right.
And so here you are, and if you hear something and you improvise it, you're going to remember that way.
You will.
And it gets in the way.
But you know what, Jill? That is very true at some point. But as you go along with that loosens,
yes,
and it begins to separate, and you're with two worlds then, because when I do a concert, especially a solo, I do classic and jazz.
It's very obvious.
I integrate them, and so there you're dealing with two different aspects of thought. But I think the whole answer is to mentor yourself and feel that to be free is where it's at.
Well, I think you also, it's not just the spirit. I think you have to know what you're doing.
Oh,
you know? I mean,
people
always think, oh, you just sit down and you become inspired.
No,
well, you know,
well,
you need the tools.
Well, Jill, as I already said, I particularly would do it the same way all over again because I had spent so many years of practice and dedication getting the tools.
Yes.
And so, like, I didn't have to deal with that. So then what I found myself having to deal with, as opposed to the classic, was the creativity. And I didn't have to worry about that too much.
Too much. Now, it has been said that you, you're rather unique in the sense that when you play the Hammond.
Yes, ma'am.
You actually use your foot to play the bass more than you do your left hand. In other words, a lot of organists probably do it with their, but you decided to take on the devil.
Well, that's what I knew. That's what I came up with because I started pipe organ lessons in church when I was about 12.
So you've actually been playing the pipe organ
for a very long time. Much, much younger. I played and started in church. My church gave me organ lessons. I got to the point where I could assist the main organist with the choir work. I became the funeral organist just by myself. I laugh back to that. I had my own churches doing the entire music situation. So, yes, much before the Hammond organ, I did all of my work as far as organ on pipe organ.
Now, are you playing more organ these days? Is that it?
Seems like I am.
Yeah.
It's not too much of a choice, though, Jill. I I am open to whatever is offered to me to do and whatever the situation calls for.
Well,
if it's piano, I'm thrilled. If it's organ, I have to put on another hat because it demands some different things.
Well, we're going to go and see your hat at the Kimmel Center on September 15th. Trudy Pitts, what a joy to have you, Trudy, and I hope you'll come back again and we'll talk
some
more.
All you have to do is ask me. It's your call, Jill.
Now, you've done a lot of interesting things. I know you've had the Kennedy Center and so on and so forth.
Yes,
recently,
ma'am.
What was that, last year?
That was this year.
This year.
That was last year. It's with Dr. Billy Taylor, that Kennedy Center situation in Washington. He is the ruler of that, the originator of it.
Yeah, he's a
great whenever
artist.
He asks me to be a part of it, that's what I'm honored to do.
And you're not doing much touring anymore, are you?
No, not at the moment, because I'm teaching, Jill, and I don't like to be sitting in one chair and dividing that too much with what I've committed myself to do. I'm teaching at two universities, University of the Arts, Community College, and that's an ongoing situation.
And what are you teaching? Is it jazz piano or organ?
Yes, of what they call applied jazz. Piano and ensemble work.
Wonderful.
And I love both of them. I have really a lot of fun with the ensembles, trying to bring people together
as
one.
Yes, the various instruments.
Yeah, that's wonderful, yes.
Well,
quintets, sextets, in that area.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, Trudy, once again, a joy to have you here. The best of luck. Have a great concert. We'll be there. And looking forward to even some more recordings. Maybe.
Oh, yes. I've been slow with that, Jill, and that's another long story. But even before this year is over, I will be involved in that.
Will you? You'll be coming out with a new album?
Piano, organ, solo, piano trio, organ trio. I want to do it all if I still have the energy.
Well, we hope that you do and look forward to your newest venture. Thanks again, Trudy.
Thank you, Jill. It's a pleasure.
A pleasure.
Bright moments.
A pleasure. Thanks. Our guest today has been pianist, organist Trudy Pitts. You're listening to Crossover on WRTI.